Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game on.
It is blocked. It is picked up by Will Hill. Will Hill runs down the sideline.
And it is Trash Talk Tuesday here on Baltimore Sports Talk.
Wow.
MQFL Lung. Jeff Coles. crazy finish.
Did he say a kick six?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It was a kick six.
A walk-off.
Because, of course, we had just watched a pick six. And I think it was sweet revenge.
All right, Jeff, we're going to talk about a bunch of things. We're going to start, obviously, with the Ravens-Browns game from last night, how crazy it was, and of course, the final point. But we got a couple of calls hanging right now. We're going to get right to my son, Dan McQuay. We're going to bring him into the conversation.
Yay!
And
well,
all right, Dan, what are you hearing? What are you hearing on the Baltimore airwaves this morning?
Oh, at least one person called in talking about how Matt Schaub looked just as good as Joe Flacco has all year, and that Kamar Aiken now looks like a viable number two receiver, and he hasn't looked like anything with Joe Flacco.
It never ends, does it? The Flacco haters are still out there. Look, to be fair, Joe has thrown his share of interceptions this year. Some of them were ugly. But come on. I mean, look, Matt Schaub had a nice little game, but it's not all of that. And I think, Dan, you were saying
10%.
They change up the
10% of Schaub's passes were interceptions last night. 10%.
And the other 80 or 90%, I guess, were well, that's not true. He did throw a couple of long balls, but most of them were the short little slants or outs or even screens. They threw a lot more screens last night, it seemed to me, than they have. I don't know.
You were talking about that, I remember, about some weeks ago, about why don't they do more of those screens.
Yeah, I think with Flacco, they just feel like they have such a big arm that he's got to air it out almost, you know, every other play or something. I don't know. Look, it was...
And he moved in the pocket well, and, you know, they want to give him a chance to make the good play. And it looked like to me, and anyway, that there were a lot of quick passes, like almost like the Patriots offense last night.
Right.
Little passes out to the flat to Juszczyk and the tight end, which is good. But, you know, when you get the ball out of the quarterback's hands in the first 2 seconds, there aren't going to be a lot of sacks, and there's not going to, like, there's no time to think. This guy's going to the flat, throw it there. Right.
And they ran the ball pretty well. And our boy Terrence West from Towson University ran fairly well against his former team, the Cleveland Browns, when he was in there.
Towson.
So, yeah.
All right.
So that was all good to see. But folks, let's not forget it was the 2-9 Cleveland Browns and the 4-7 Baltimore Ravens. So, you know, they won. Whoopee. See, you know, I don't know how you can really look at Matt Schaub and Kamar Aiken and all of that and say, wow, they, you know, they've arrived or whatever. I'm gonna bring Philly Jeff into the conversation, and because he probably has something interesting to say about that Ravens game. Philly Jeff.
Hey. That's where I am with football right now.
What? In the bathroom?
Yeah. Let's put it in three real simple words for all you listeners that maybe you know whatever. I don't care.
So what happened to the Eagles, Jeff?
Oh, was I not clear just a minute ago?
I don't care.
How excited were you when the rumors were going around about Chip Kelly?
If they keep him around another year, I'd be stunned.
Yeah. I'd be stunned if he finishes out the season.
Oh, I'm sure of that. I mean, there's no point in rocking the boat now, but you know, let him go back to college. You know, let him take the Steve Spurrier train back to college.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Philly Jeff. If you don't care, what did you call in to talk about?
Oh, I was just here for Dan.
Oh, okay. That's very good. All right. Listen, a lot of other stuff went on, and maybe we can talk for just a second about Johnny Manziel. Hey, Philly Jeff, I'm gonna put you on hold for a second just because of the background sound. I'll bring you back in a second. Johnny Manziel was benched, obviously, and then oh my goodness.
Austin Davis.
Yeah, who's the starter? Can't even think of the starter's
Josh
name.
McCown.
McCown gets hurt, so then there's a need for the backup. It's Austin Davis. And he actually played pretty well. Is he going to keep Johnny Manziel on the bench? Daniel, what's your take on that?
Well, first of all, I don't think it should be any surprise that Austin Davis played well. He played well in St. Louis when he was there. But to get to your question, no, they're not going to keep Johnny Manziel on the bench. They're not going to do it. They're going to hope that he felt like crap last night when they didn't win that game, even though it wasn't the quarterback's fault. Everybody's going to feel like, well, if the playmaker Manziel had been on the field, then the outcome would have been different. And they drafted him. I don't know why they have so much faith in him, but when you spend a first-round pick, you're not going to throw him to the side because Austin Davis played a good 5 minutes of the game. They're going to go back to Johnny Manziel.
You could almost say that, Austin Davis did make one mistake there at the end of the game by sliding down and staying in bounds on that play that he was flushed from the pocket and ran. He could have gotten a few more yards and gotten out of bounds. He didn't do that. They had to, you know, spend a timeout. It did a farther field goal try for a guy that hadn't kicked better than a 44-yard field goal in his NFL career. So who knows? They get a few more, a couple yards closer. They stop the clock by getting out of bounds, and that may have been a different outcome.
Yes, it was still poor clock management on the coaching staff of the Browns after that happened, though. They had timeouts that they didn't use.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean.
Right. But I just wonder if, you know, McCown or Manziel may have played that a little bit differently, and there might have been a different outcome. But who knows? We won't know.
I mean, maybe, and, but maybe McCown or Manziel don't lead them down to a touchdown drive, the drive before that.
Well, that's true. And I to me, the crucial play was the third down play that the Ravens once again can't stop a third down to, I guess it was it Hartline? I think it was Brian Hartline for a little six yard across the middle for the first down. And then you know, he throws the deep ball to Benjamin for the touchdown. But if the Ravens can get off the field there on third down, maybe we don't even get into that situation. Who knows? But again, the Ravens' defense not being able to get off on third downs,
you know,
is problematic,
interestingly,
especially
late
in the game. Go ahead. No, that was it. That's it. Go ahead. Interestingly.
Oh, interestingly, I heard yesterday that the Browns are actually seventh in the league on third down efficiency, despite being so bad in every other category offensively.
Huh. Interesting. And that's probably because they go to Gary Barnage a good bit.
Yeah. He's a good player.
Yeah. All right, Manziel, what was I going to say about that? I had one other thought about go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to say, you know, with Manziel, it's just a matter of time before the Browns admit that they made a mistake drafting this guy and wasting a pick on him. I think that the better Austin plays, you know, the more chance that they might find that excuse, and I think it's going to take another. I think it's going to take a public relations disaster type of a reason to finally get rid of him. He's going to do something stupid out here, and it's going to hasten his demise in Cleveland.
So you don't think that he's learned his lesson? You think there's more off-field shenanigans to come?
Yes. I don't think he's going to learn a lesson. I'm not sure if there's a lesson that he can learn. I think that we may be talking about, you know, somebody who has bigger problems that he has to address. And I'm talking about, you know, somebody who may have alcoholism, you know, that he has to deal with. That it takes a lot more than just a swat on the nose to fix.
Well, didn't he spend time in rehab last year?
Yes, he did. And sometimes you keep when you have problems like that, you're going to fall down, and you're going to keep falling down. And sometimes, you know, before you can learn, you know, how to, you know, sustain, you know, being able to walk, you know, the straight and narrow, you've got to experience falling down. Sometimes it just takes too many of those, and you lose family, you lose friends because of that.
Right.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, sure.
So let's also remember that the whole reason he got benched was because he lied.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It didn't have anything to do with the fact that even though he's been to rehab and has come out and said he's cleaning up his act and he's not Johnny Football anymore and blah blah blah, he walked into his head coach's office, looked him in the eye, and lied.
Yeah,
and that's why he got benched. So the lesson he's going to take away from this isn't I have to clean up my act. It's I can't lie to my coach.
Right.
Hopefully that's what he
takes. And the next time the video might not be of him doing whatever he was doing at that party, but it might be him, you know, doing stuff worse. Because, oh, well, as long as I come clean to my coach, then everything will be okay.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll be part of what he learns.
Well, we'll see. I'm not sure. I agree with Dan in that if the lesson he's learning is don't lie to your head coach, it has nothing to do with his behavior. So his behavior can continue to be whatever he wants it to be. Just don't lie about it. That's a great point.
Yeah.
How do you think Austin Davis felt getting booed because Johnny Manziel wasn't put in the game?
He probably felt like Bill Troop, you know, if you remember poor Bill Troop and, how many people used to yell to bring in Mike Kirkland back in the 70s with the Colts.
Right. All right, look, other things, and Dan, I know you're heading into work and stuff, so you chime in or drop off if you need to, but Patriots lose. They also lose Gronkowski. The Steelers lose. They lose Roethlisberger. Although Roethlisberger is claiming that he's going to play on Sunday, I guess we'll have to see. It's concussion protocol and all that good stuff. But Gronk is done for the regular season. Isn't that right?
He's not done. He might not be next week, but maybe in a couple of weeks. Bruise more than it is a tear.
Ah, I didn't hear that. I did not hear that. At any rate, you know, does this indicate a fade for the Patriots, or does Tom Brady continue to?
Dan?
Hello?
Dan?
Yeah.
Well, I tend to think personally about that is Gronkowski, losing him is probably the biggest blow next to Tom Brady as far as what the Patriots could suffer. And Gronkowski does tend to gobble up the safeties in terms of attention. When he's running a pass pattern, he frees up the other receivers on the Patriots team, and he really opens things up, as far as their passing game. Without him, that's going to make a huge difference for them. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Dan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you can hear me. What do you think, Dan? What do you think about Gronkowski?
He's the best offensive player that they have. He might be one of the best, aside from Tom Brady, of course, but he might be one of the best offensive players in the league. What, he just became he's got the most touchdown receptions for a tight end in history now? Right after this past week?
Yes, I think so.
I mean, anytime you lose a guy like that, it's going to be really difficult. And I think they're supposed to, and they're missing Julian Edelman now, too.
He's gone. With Gronkowski, though, he made a difference to the other receivers. I mean, you and me, the numbers two and three receivers on the offense, and we would manage maybe one of us to get open just because Gronkowski draws the extra man in the coverage.
Sure. You guys there? No, we're here.
Sorry. My Skype connection just failed.
Wow.
And
we lost you for a little.
Yeah, and I couldn't get called back in, so I had to call back in on my phone.
So there we are. I'm back.
Yeah.
And the show survived without you. Yeah, well,
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. So what were you guys just saying? I mean, I heard you talking about Gronk a little bit, but
we were talking about the possibility that you might be interested in being a third string receiver for the Patriots.
That I might be, yeah.
Yeah. So we're.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so my question before I got cut off was, and maybe you answered this, but does Tom Brady, you know, continue to make rookies and guys that you've never heard of into Pro Bowlers, or are the Patriots going to kind of fade here a bit because they're, you know, they've had almost or maybe as many injuries as the Ravens, but they always find a way to win, and I guess that's coaching.
Well, I my point in this was basically that Gronkowski was maybe as much as Tom Brady responsible for helping the other receivers by drawing the extra coverage and
sure.
You know, and opening up the pass game for the others, and you know, even including Edelman, you know, and of course he's gone. But,
right.
You know, that is a key. I mean, talk about a key blow for the Patriots at this point in the season. I mean, fortunately for Gronkowski, it's not going to be as bad as thought.
Right. All right. The Broncos looked for real after beating the Patriots Dan, what are your thoughts on Brock Osweiler?
I mean, to be honest, I didn't have a chance to watch the game.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
I think he's the real deal. You know, the fact that he can actually throw the ball downfield, you know, helps him a lot.
Right
now, the problem with Peyton Manning this year is, you know, he's got his style of play and Gary Kubiak's style are really different. And you know, it's one thing if you're Peyton Manning last year or the year before, you were that Peyton Manning. But if you can't keep up that style of play now, you know, I think it's more likely that Kubiak is going to be more comfortable going forward with Brock Osweiler. I'm wondering if it's going to be, obviously it's a very difficult decision that Gary Kubiak is going to have to make because the pressure is going to be on to bring in Peyton Manning if he's healthy or even a little bit healthy, you know, if he's somewhat a semblance of himself. You know, you've got on the other hand Brock Osweiler who's showing that he can go in and do a decent job, and he's got more upside, but the choice is going to be who are you going to choose going into the playoffs, going into those big games. Are you going to put your young guy in there, or are you going to put in the guy who's been there through all those years and has all that experience and is
one of
the very best to play that position?
Well, it does. I mean, let's not forget that Osweiler is not necessarily a young guy. Now, he doesn't have a whole lot of playing time. He has some. But he has spent, you know, the last year and a half, I guess, behind Peyton, learning from Peyton. From what I understand here and stuff, read that, Peyton's very good about working with his understudies and brings them along, kind of coaches them along. And Osweiler, obviously, I think you alluded to it, Jeff, is able to run a Gary Kubiak system.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't say that we've seen the last of Peyton, because that would be, it'd be a shame for him to go out the way that he did. But I'm not sure if they do rely on him going down the road. But you know,
if they do play him again, he's going to be on a short leash. I can tell you that.
Well, not to mention the fact that this, you know, the plantar fasciitis issue that he has is a nagging, painful, and sometimes debilitating issue. And, you know, he may end up having to have surgery on it. I don't know if he will be able to play effectively on that foot until he has surgery.
And even after he has surgery, that takes a long time to heal. I mean, there's no guarantee that next year he'll start out, you know, healthy.
Right. And at his age, right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So, all right. Well, we'll see. Denver sure had New England's number the other night. Of course, it was also in the snow. But, you know, the Patriots play in snow. So I'm not sure that, because I've heard some of this stuff, you know, kind of giving the Patriots a little bit of pass because it was they were playing in a snowstorm and blah, 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 blah. Remember the Tuck game?
I remember a game where the Patriots got a little bit of help from a snow sweeper.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. So
how many games did they play in the snow? A lot. I'm sorry, that doesn't play for me. I call BS on.
I'm not giving them a pass on the weather. They're used to it. Boy, I tell you, they keep showing that replay of that kick six, and it's just still crazy. Every time I see it, I still can't believe it. I can't believe that Will Hill actually stayed in bounds and didn't get tackled.
Yeah.
And by the way, Dan, you're still on the line. How about, you know, we can say whatever we want to say about Kamar Aiken and this, that, and the other, but, you know, he did a really nice job getting that ball across the goal line on that touchdown catch where he was going out of bounds. And to me, it showed some awareness of where he was, the game situation, and all that stuff. So maybe he is coming along to be a viable receiver in the NFL. What do you think?
Is that for Dan?
Well, I thought so, but
maybe.
Maybe he.
Well,
muted
I mean,
his
that's
phone.
Good. I mean, it's good if he is. I mean, that's where the Ravens' future is. I mean, right now, certainly, Steve Senior is no longer an option, and they need to grow more talent, and that's, you know, we're going to be looking at who the Ravens are going to grow, and eventually, I'm sure at this point they're going to look at who's going to go. I mean, you know, who's up in their 30s who won't be around the next time, peak,
right,
and maybe go to the Super Bowl.
Right. Well, next year should certainly be interesting. I mean, Steve Smith hasn't completely said, I mean, he said before the season he would be retiring, but now evidently there's a little bit of question around that. So I don't think that the final word has been made on whether he's finished.
Rob, he's going to be the world's most talented soccer mom. You know, he's got his son playing at Hopkins. You know, playing soccer there. I guess he's going to have to get the van with the and the Kmart tennis shoes.
Right.
What
soccer
moms wear.
Yeah.
And a little picnic basket full of sandwiches and orange slices.
Oh, the orange slices. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
All right. Jeff, we're running out of time. It was an exciting week. Obviously, an exciting game last night. The Ravens win two in a row. Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty crazy. Who do they have next week? I'm totally blanking on that. I guess I should look at the schedule here.
I haven't thought about next. I did not even think about next week.
Let's see. It'll be week 13. And let's see. What do we have here? We have the Baltimore Ravens at the Miami Dolphins at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
And that
team
had all kinds of issues.
Yep. That's right.
They
just fired their offensive coordinator.
That's right.
And so
the Ravens probably want to pick him up.
Once again, it's a winnable game if you look at it and optimistically the way we do. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if some of the young guys are able to continue to step up. I mean, beating the Browns is one thing. Playing the Dolphins in Miami is going to be another thing. So, we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see.
I don't even want. I'll tell you what. The winner will win by less than 6 points.
Yeah, right. Of course. That's a prediction that we can be. Yeah, we could be pretty solid on that. I will say that next week we probably don't want to have Philly Jeff call in because the Eagles are playing in New England at 4:25 on Sunday.
He might want to talk about the Eagles rock band.
That's right. We'll talk a little Hotel California.
Life in the fast lane.
Yep.
Well, they're going to the fast lane in New England.
Yeah. If they got beat 45-14 or whatever it was to the Lions, I'm not sure what to think about this one coming up. So.
Oh, well, he doesn't care.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't care. All right, Jeff, thanks. And I want to thank Dan McQuay and Philly Jeff Dyer for calling in. And, folks, we're out of here. We'll see you again next week. Have a good one. Enjoy football this coming weekend as we move into December now. Boy.
All right.
Getting ready for Christmas. All right, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
See you around.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer Guy.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory. When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte.
Megabyte.
The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working.
Working for the man.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy. For it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard.
You've got
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.